Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Hold on. Wait 1 second. Oh. Okay, wait. Okay, I'm here now. Okay. That was, all right. Pushed it too far that time. I realized just before went to air that I had forgotten to actually light the sacred fire. I hope this is okay. You know, I tested my microphone and my headphones so carefully before the show, and then I had to sort of kind of rip them off and go and light the incense, and then came back. Well, the incense is very important since I promised it to you in the little opening blurb there, so I made sure that was light. It smells really nice. It's good. It's good to have the incense. Good evening. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch, and thank you for joining me this evening. Need to start on sort of a sad note, maybe not such a sad note, depending on how you look at it and what your particular spiritual beliefs are. But a friend of mine passed away yesterday. Yes, it was yesterday. Rather unexpectedly, he was an older gentleman in his 60s, but didn't have. There was no reason to think that he was going to leave us quite so soon, but he did. His name was Chuck, also known as Chetty, for reasons that I will explain here in a moment. I thought about whether I wanted to lead off the show with this because it is a bit maudlin, but I think it's something of. Something of import is something that I ought to lead the show with, even though sometimes I do stuff that in the middle just to maybe get you to listen for a little longer, the way that the real radio broadcasters do. Excuse me, I'm still a bit befuddled by my adventure before the show started. But anyway, Chuck was a friend. I knew him from Iggy's restaurant. He came and did karaoke with us on Wednesday nights. He came in with the Rocky Horror crew, and you say, now, wait just a moment. You said that he was a gentleman in his 60s, and indeed he was. Kind of an odd thing, just an odd person to see with a Rocky Horror Picture Show type group, but there you go. That's the kind of guy Chuck was. He saw something that interested him, and he wanted to be involved in it. He didn't let things like societal age expectations get in his way. So not only did he hang out with the Rocky Horror people, sorry, I'm talking about the official shadow cast from our city for the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which means that once a month they go to a local theater, and the theater shows at midnight shows the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and a group of people get up in front of the screen and act the movie out as it's being shown, and the audience screams things at them and screams things at the screen and so forth. And it's a good time, and Chuck, he was just right in the center of all of that, because he was, not only was he a fan, he was also a member of the shadow cast. He played Eddie, the character played by Meatloaf in the movie, and thus the genesis of his nickname, Chetty, as a cross between Chuck and Eddie becomes Chetty. So I was on Facebook yesterday morning, and the director of the shadow cast is a Facebook friend. And she posted that Chuck had passed. And again, her sort of surprise over it, and also, you know, that she had never lost a cast member before, you know. And it's like something, it tends to be a very young crowd, and they're like, death, what is that? You know, never have you ever known anyone who even passed away. So she said there was a karaoke in his honor at Surly, not Surly Girl, the other girl, Bossy Girl, in Clintonville here in the great city of Columbus, which I unfortunately was unable to attend because I was working last night. But she said a fine time was had by all, and stories and memories of Chetty shared. I guess my enduring memory of him will be that that quality of his, of being comfortable in his own skin, something that I lack. You know, I tend to think, is this the right thing? Am I trying to create, or am I able to create the quote-unquote proper impression, or at least the impression that's going to ingratiate me to this group of people? Chuck never worried about that. He just did what felt good to him to do. And he wasn't just interested in things like that. He had more serious, quote-unquote, music interests, a group of people who probably would never be caught dead at something like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he was equally adept at that. So what to say? Oh, well, I'll say I wanted to post a video from the movie to honor him, Eddie's big song. It's called Hot Patootie, and I found a clip of it on YouTube, and I cut and pasted the clip onto YouTube with a little message about Chuck. And as I was working that out, I had left the clip actually playing on YouTube, and I was listening to the music while I was pasting the web address into my Facebook, and I came back just in time to see the ending of the clip, wherein Eddie, the character, is killed by an axe-wielding Dr. Frankfurter. And I think, oh my God, I mean, people are going to think now this is some sort of joke in horrible taste. You know, Eddie died, and now Chuck died. And so what the hell are you doing, Mudtoe? What do you think? And I panicked, and I took the clip down. And I'm kind of sorry I did that, although I was also, it occurred at a time when I was just getting ready to leave for work, so I didn't really have time to think of something perhaps a bit clever or how do I want to say it. So I would like to explain, maybe this will become my blog for next week, just my horror in that moment of having thought I might have committed a social faux pas in what is a very serious moment, a moment where people are going to be experiencing a lot of emotions anyway, and there might have been some finger-pointing and some how dare you directed at yours truly. And my reaction to that, my absolute terror that might happen, and it occurred to me in that moment, as it was starting to subside a bit and I started thinking about it more, Chuck would have he would have loved that. I mean, he would love not just what had happened, with the clip and he died and then he died, but also the fact that I was so upset about it, and that I went into this panic over it. I think Chuck, wherever he is right now, is having a hearty laugh over that. Not a mean laugh, because he would never he didn't have a mean bone in his body. So pleasant journey to the other side, Chuck, see you there, I guess, at some point. Hopefully not too soon. Time probably doesn't exist for him, so it doesn't matter for him. So I'll just hang around for a while, Chetty, if you don't mind. Okay, I guess that wasn't. We talk about death and we think of it as sort of a maudlin subject. It's something that happens. It's going to happen to all of us. No one escapes. No one gets out alive. It's just that we are. It's, I don't want to say selfish, that's not the word I want, but it's a reaction I think we all have to when someone we've just gotten used to having them around, and then they're taken from us in a very unexpected way, and it takes a while to deal with that. But our feelings aren't, we aren't sad so much for the person who's left us as we all are for ourselves, because that person has left us somewhere when we don't have them in our lives anymore. I think, I see a lot of requests on Facebook for prayers, and I do respond to most of them because I am supposed to be a shaman. And usually I'll just say something, I don't like flowery stuff, I'll just say, if somebody's, somebody's gone to the hospital, I'll say, healing for whoever's gone to the hospital, and peace of mind for whoever it was who made the request. Because my feeling, my observation, and this goes back even to when I was a kid in my years in the Christian church, is that when someone asks for prayers for someone else, 9 times out of 10, they're really asking for prayers for themselves. Not in a selfish way, because what has happened to this other person, whatever dreadful thing that has happened, has also had an effect on the person who's making the request for prayers, and it's just not not polite to ask for prayers for yourself. I remember when I first started going to AA meetings, that was a rule, and many of the more traditional meetings was you could never ask for prayers for yourself. They had to be for someone else. But I think people find a kind of tricky way around that, because maybe I'm not. So, of course, I'm concerned about my Aunt Penelope, who's having the knee replacement. But I'm kind of also concerned about what happens to me. You know, I really enjoy her Christmas candy, and I really enjoy talking to her on the phone, and you know, I really enjoy seeing her on holidays. And if something were to go wrong, and that, you know, that knee replacement were to get loose and go to her brain or something, and then we wouldn't have Aunt Penelope anymore, that would really be a bummer for me. So please protect Aunt Penelope for my sake. There's just the unspoken words that I sort of feel behind the requests that I read for prayers. So that's that. Again, bon voyage, Chetty. Now, see, now the hazard of my having done that first, it just seems like anything else I talk about now for the next 18-plus minutes is just going to seem frivolous by comparison, because, you know, death is the one thing that scares the shit out of all of us. And so we very successfully ignore that one day we are going to die and one day that the people we love are going to leave us. Excuse me, let me get a sip here. And when that reality sort of rears up, and for a moment it's right in front of our face and really can't ignore it, I think we're challenged by that, and I think we're pissed off by that a little bit, that death can sort of come, or the prospect of death can command our attention so easily, and it tends to drown out everything else. So when something else comes along, you really don't get a chance to talk about something. But I'm going to try and soldier bravely on, as they say, because I want to continue and do the show in the fine manner that you have come to expect. So let me just do the housekeeping, which I don't really know it very well, so it's not easy for me to do, but I will try. This is the Blog Talk Radio – no, excuse me, it's the With Insights Radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. And this is not the only show on With Insights Radio. There's also Iggy's show on Mondays, which I believe is still at 6 p.m. And then I'm rather fuzzy on the rest of it because there have been a lot of changes here lately. But I believe Jenny Seek is still on. I'm not sure if it's Tuesdays or Wednesdays now. I believe Ananda of Love is still on Fridays. And other than that, I'm not real sure. I'd heard a rumor that Psychics in the City was coming back. And then I just saw it on the schedule a couple of weeks ago. I didn't get a chance to hear it. I don't know whether it's appreciably – I think they are different psychics now than they were before. But so that's probably on the schedule. I think the safest thing for you to do if you're interested is to just go to Blog Talk Radio and type in With Insights, and the sked will appear for you. Now, sometimes I've noticed that the logical way to arrange the programs would be in order, starting with the one that's coming up most recently. And usually that is the way it comes up, but sometimes it's not. So sometimes you do have to scroll a little bit to find if you're looking for something in particular, the next episode or whatever particular show you might be interested in. So just have a little bit of patience. Technology certainly is not perfect. You will find what you want, and you can click on it and get you an opportunity to make a reminder for yourself. I've never actually made a reminder for myself, so I don't know how that appears on your how that comes at you, but I do know you can do it. I'm so dreadfully unprepared for these technical things, which is kind of odd because I used to work with technology, and I hope to work with I may work with technology again, but many elements of technology befuddle me. For instance, I don't own a smartphone, and I know nothing about how they work. So I think their assumptions are made. The last job I had was at the university helping master students in education. They made videos. They took the digital cameras into their workplace of doing their student teaching, and they would tape themselves, or they would digitize themselves, and then bring the things back to our laboratory, and we would help them. I would help them make sharp videos out of them. Well, after a while, this is towards the end of my tenure there, teachers would start bringing their videos in on their own smartphones, and I didn't know what to do with the things. I had to call in extra help to kind of teach me, and to be honest, I never did quite master it. And I'm quite sure, you know, that was a year and a half ago. I'm quite sure by now we probably may even have a preponderance of people coming in with those phone-made videos. So that's the way the industry is going, and quite frankly, I have next to no knowledge of it, so that's a daunting prospect when I'm putting all this technology-related stuff on my resume trying to get a full-time job. I've wandered into this sort of area. I have this part-time job that I'm doing to help pay the bills, and it's an afternoon job, and I found that I'm just missing everything cool because I work until 11:30 at night. I've really been getting into what's going on at our art museum. They're showing some great movies. They have the art exhibit for the next few months is brilliant Brazilian contemporary art. And to go along with that, they've been showing movies from Brazil. And of course, living in the United States, you don't get to see movies from Brazil. I saw one, a very good one last week, which I think I actually went and saw that. I think I talked about it on the show last week because I went and saw it on a Friday, but it was about a music competition, sort of kind of like American Idol, that went on in the 1960s in Brazil and all the sort of political intrigue that surrounded it. And you know, when do you get to see, unless it's on PBS, and even then PBS tends to gravitate towards things that are in English. So there was an interesting movie. Actually, there was one tonight that I could have gone to, but I didn't want to because I thought it would make me angry. It's called Housemaids. And I guess Brazil has the highest per capita number of domestic servants in the world. And it's not a great situation for the domestic servants. So I figured in a movie about that would just upset me. But there are all kinds of other sort of pop culture Brazilian things. I guess they have a thing for vampire and zombie movies, not unlike Mexican cinema does. And I've wanted to catch at least one of those movies, but doggone it, every time they put one on, I'm working. And now I've been given another Saturday shift, which I'm happy to have the Saturday shift, but it goes up until 7. And unless I can find a warp zone between where I work and where the movie is, you know, I'm not going to make it to see this movie I want to see. And, you know, I pound my fists on the ground and say, curse the situation that forces me to miss everything that's cool in my life because I have to work and I have to pay bills. So the situation needs to change one way or the other, and it's still my motivation in getting a real job has been cool at best. Other things seem to intervene, like the various paperwork I'm filling out for the government. I seem to spend a lot of time doing that and not so much time looking through these rather opaque websites. The whole healthcare thing is still an issue. I feel badly about complaining about it because obviously this is my mother voice coming out. Obviously there are other people in the world much worse off than I am. But at the same time, I do long to have that sort of platform where I can like express myself and somehow make a living at it. You know, doing what I do here, doing my writing. Let me get off of this because it's going nowhere. I'm descending into pity party now. Let's change the subjects. I went to the theater where I used to work. So I used to run lights at a sort of hip, I don't want to call it guerrilla theater. It's a dinner theater is what it is. And we have a very vibrant arts community in our city, but that community does kind of look down its nose at dinner theater. So I enjoyed it, did it for a while, and then the people who ran it decided I wasn't good enough to do it anymore, so they kind of showed me the door. And yeah, I missed the people. I missed the interacting with the actors. And And there was one person in particular that I was maybe just kind of a little bit sweet on. And yeah, there was no future in it, so I just kind of backed off. I just wrote a couple of blog entries about her and then let go. I was really kind of hoping I was going to get to see her when I went back. Like this past week, my one night off, I went out to see. They had a comedy night. They had not an open mic night, but a stand-up comedy night. And before that, they had an improv troupe, which this person was in, and I wanted to see her and say hi and maybe talk to her a bit. But alas, the improv troupe has disbanded. She's not in it anymore, and she's not associated with the theater anymore. So, make a long story short, too late. that connection is gone. She's out of my life, and that will never, unless some really bizarre thing happens, I will never see or speak to her again. And there's a sort of fragility of the things I always thought, you know, I could go to the theater anytime and she would be there. And then to go there for a night, even though there really isn't anything, you know, a sort of real relationship other than a friendship between us, it's just daunting to see that those connections can be broken so quickly and so easily. And it makes me, that makes me think again about Chuck. I hadn't spoken to him probably in over a year since I hadn't seen him regularly since they didn't have karaoke anymore at Iggy's place. And, you know, I left that relationship. I liked him, and I liked spending time with him, but I let the relationship fail because I'm not a terribly outgoing person, and now there's no chance of rekindling it. And so I think what's the lesson there? And the lesson there is, and this has happened to me any number of times before in my life, the lesson is, don't let that happen. the relationships need to be cultivated. It's not just something I'm going to be able to stick on the shelf and then it'll be there when I need it. Relationships need to have some attention paid to them. And so I will, Mudto is a slow learner. Hopefully I will, the lesson will stick this time. I have a call. And I'm notoriously bad about phone calls. The technology again befuddles me, but I'm going to give this one heck of a shot and see what this person would like to talk about. I think I have the mic open to our call at 1007. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
Oh yes, hello.
Yes. What can I do for you?
I was just listening in. I will message you on your Facebook. I have a resource for something you was just talking about, platform of your writing and job opportunities and all that type of good stuff.
Sure. Well, the Facebook, I don't think I said this, but the Facebook is Mudto Sasquatch, MudtoeSasquatch. And certainly I welcome everybody's comments, and I would certainly love to be able to take a look at that resource. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure to pass that
on. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, that was cool. And everybody else can go on the Mudto Sasquatch page and look at it too. Why not? Again, I failed to mention that there is the Mudto Sasquatch Facebook page. There is Mudto Sasquatch Twitter, which has at the moment a pathetic 4 followers. So where are we at? Get out there and follow Mudto Sasquatch on Twitter. What's the matter with you? Actually, I had a Twitter account like a couple of years ago, and I had built it up to about 200 followers, and it's just the amount of work it takes to cultivate those followers, because you got to retweet somebody, and then they retweet you, and then somebody follows you back and all that. And I just, that's where I couldn't stand the hassle anymore. So I went with a new, when I wanted to be back on Twitter again, I just said, okay, I'll let my radio fans and my Facebook fans find me, And so far, you haven't looked very hard. Maybe that means you don't like Twitter, and I can certainly understand that. I mean, it is. I'm looking at my tweets, and I think that the 140-character limit certainly does confine me. And I've looked a lot and see, boy, that tweet seems awful petty as opposed to deep or spiritual, which is what I intend to. And I'm not going to lie to you, I want to look at it as a platform to promote my book, which I'm looking to put out in some form or another in August of 2014, sometime this summer. And I want people to know about it. So there's also a Facebook page for the book now, too. It's called The Grandfather Tree, and you can find that. There's not much content on it yet, and I don't know exactly what kind of content's going to go on it, but I'm hoping in some way, shape, or form to make this thing appear more real. I was told who was the writer? I can't remember the writer's name, and it could be apocryphal anyway, but I was told that one way, I think it's Wayne Dyer maybe does this, that he would create the cover for his book, and then he would put it in front of his computer, so it made it seem real. Then he had it once the cover was there and in front of his computer reminded him he had to write it. So now I have a Facebook page for my book, which means now I have to actually write it. So please be on the lookout for that. That's going to be my ticket out of the doldrums, is my hope. And if not, you know, at least you have an audience. A few people will see it. If a few people, it's my dream is to be able to, at some point, make my living doing that. I shouldn't say at some point. My New Age friends will be very upset with me for saying at some point. I have to believe that I will make my living at it, and then I can manifest it. And no problem there. I'll keep that in mind. I think the book is going to be good. I mean, these stories have been entertaining me in my head. See, that's the thing. That's one problem with my sort of motivation in moving forward is that I am very well able, and this speaks to my failing to cultivate relationships as well. I am very well able to entertain myself without the help of other people. And because of these stories, you know, I tell these stories to myself in my head, and I refine them, I change them. Sometimes I had once I realized there was a character in one story who actually belonged in a different story. And so I got him, and the reason I couldn't finish was that there's one story with this character, Johnny Guitar, and I realized that the reason I can't finish it is the ending that's appropriate for him is actually in this other story that I'm writing. So I need to transplant him. I did a character transplant. I took him out of the one story and actually trashed the other story because it didn't have an ending, and put him into you replaced the sort of boring character was there and made this broken down musician who was dying of cancer, put him in this other story and with this sort of animal familiar that belongs to his wife, and he develops this sort of almost symbiotic relationship. The dog is the only being that he can talk to because the dog doesn't argue with him. The dog lets him vent, lets him talk about these feelings he has about, you know, his life having not given him a fair shake, you know, that he never made it in the music industry and now he's dying of this terrible disease. And the dog just sits there and listens. And then, other strange things start to happen. And I don't want to have any spoilers here. But I don't even remember what the original character did, but it wasn't anything like music. And then having the affected character be a musician seemed to really make the story take off in my mind. So that's how it works. But now I have to now the task is to freeze everything and put it in a written form, and so other people can share it. And that's proving to be quite a task. But you know, I've now set the date for myself, and I have a Facebook page. So hey, I have to do it now. So we've come to the end now of our time together. Well, thank you for tuning in. Whether you think live or on the archive at Blog Talk Radio, thank you so much. Love your feedback. Please write me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. Tell me what you like about the show. Tell me what you don't like about the show. Tell me what you'd like to hear from me. Whatever insights I can offer, I'm happy to do it. Once more, thank you for joining me this evening, and have a pleasant week. Goodbye now.